I want to welcome you this evening to the Lord's Supper on this Palm Sunday. I would ask you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20, one of those familiar Lord's Supper passages. I realize tonight some of you are here. You probably have lost count of the number of times you've been involved in a Lord's Supper service. And I wouldn't want to embarrass anyone by having them raise their hand or anything like that. But what always excites me is it's rare in our church that we have a Lord's Supper service where there's not someone who has never experienced it before. It's the very first time. Or maybe the first time when you have a chance to really understand what it is, that it's not just this religious ritual that we do for us. We do something, a religious ritual, to somehow make God happy with us. We do this to remember Jesus, and we point to Him. So we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper tonight on this Palm Sunday. Would you pray with me? Lord, we want to thank You in advance before we come to Your table tonight that You're so good to us and You're so full of love and grace and mercy that all of us, in and of ourselves, God, we know there is no way we're remotely worthy to come to Your table. But Lord Jesus, thank You that when our hearts are right before You, that it's You and Your righteousness that makes us worthy. Lord, I pray that You would give us the ability to do that very fine mixture tonight of having an incredible seriousness about Your table, but at the same time, God, a great joy and a great celebration because of what You did for us and who You are and because of the fact that You're alive. God, thank You that we remember on this day when You entered Jerusalem, and the crowd yelled Hosanna and put palm branches on the ground. And Lord, that same crowd we know would yell crucify. Lord, thank You for this last week that we remember of Your life when You went to the cross for each one of us. And thank You, Lord, during this last week that You instituted Your table, communion, Your supper for us. And Lord, prepare our hearts to understand why we're doing this and what we're doing, to be reminded of that, to focus on You, to worship You, and to rejoice in the fact that You, Jesus, are alive and that You make the difference in our lives. We love You and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I knew that I needed to get a new smartphone several months ago by how other people reacted to the one I had. I do not know what model it was. I think the latest smartphone now is like model 10. Mine was like model negative 4 or something. I knew I needed a new one because people would say, they would see me with my old phone and they would say, "Wow, can I see that?" And they would handle it like it was some kind of an artifact or something, just real careful and look at it. And I said, "Okay, maybe my phone's getting a little old." And so I remember when I went and got a new one, the guy that sold it to me, I appreciate his spirit. He was a real chipper guy. And he says, "Man, you're going to love this phone." He says, "From what you used to have," and he shook his head, he said, "This has got 16 gigabytes of memory." And I went, "Oh, yeah, that's great." And in my head, I'm going, "I have no idea what a gigabyte is, but I'm sure it's got to be good." Well, let me tell you what a gigabyte of memory is in your phone. 1 gigabyte, now it won't give you all these things, but 1 gigabyte will give you all one of these things in your phone. 1 gigabyte can give you 3,500 emails, each one with a Word document. Or 1 gigabyte can give you 5,800 web page views. 1 gigabyte can give you 68 five-minute YouTube videos. Or 1 gigabyte can give you 230 songs or 16 hours of music on your phone, or 1 gigabyte can give you 1.5 hours of your favorite movie. Again, it's not all those things total. Every one of those things equals 1 gigabyte. So when he told me that I had 16 gigabytes, that means that I have now a lot of memory on my phone. This is what's interesting. The studies have been done on the storage capacity of the human brain. They say that the human brain has 2.5 not gigabytes, but petabytes of memory. In other words, the human brain has 2.5 petabytes of memory, or 1 million gigabytes worth of memory. Every human brain has 1 million gigabytes worth of memory. That's a lot of memory, but why can I not remember where I put down my car keys? You know? Think about how God made our brains to have all that memory. The smartest smartphone in the world can't even scratch the surface of the human brain. God gave us these brains to have all this memory. And of every single thing on the planet we could possibly remember in our minds, God says, there's one thing I really want you to remember. In those 1 million gigabytes of storage I've given you, I want you to remember my son. And I want you to remember my son's sacrifice. And I want you to remember that through a table. We all forget things, but there is no doubt that God has made it crystal clear in his word, this is not something he wants us to forget because of what it represents. It represents his son. Again, this is Palm Sunday. Jesus entered Jerusalem to go to the cross. And on his way to the cross, he got his disciples together and he gave the only command in all the Bible about remembering him when he said, do this in remembrance of me. So tonight we come to the Lord's Supper. We want to honor and do what the Lord has called us to do by remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned earlier Luke 22, verses 19 and 20. This will be our foundation of the Lord's Supper, and we'll come back to these verses in just a moment when we actually partake of the Lord's Supper. But on that night before our Lord was getting ready to go to the cross with his disciples, it says this in verse 19, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. The Lord's Supper is about the person of Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, the Lord's Supper is not some kind of ritual we do so God's happy with us. We're not performing anything. We are remembering the person of Jesus Christ. We're remembering his cross. The Lord's Supper speaks to us about our past. Looking back to what the Lord did on the cross, it speaks to us right now, today, in the present. The Lord's Supper points us to the future. Again, it's about Jesus and his cross. It's symbolic. The bread is symbolic of the body of Jesus that was broken on the cross for us. The cup is symbolic of the blood of Jesus that was shed upon the cross for you and for me. The Lord's Supper is only for believers. I mean, anyone can eat a little wafer and swallow a little cup of juice. But it's only for those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior, because we are acknowledging the fact that we belong to Jesus. We are acknowledging the fact that he died and rose again. We're acknowledging the fact when we take that wafer and when we take the bread, when we take the cup inside of us, we're acknowledging the fact that Jesus is inside of us. We are remembering him and him alone. We stop and we remember, and we get our heart right, and we worship our King as we obey his command when we come to his table. Jesus commands us to do the Lord's Supper. We say this every time because some of you have never participated in this before. He does not tell us how often to do that. Some churches do it every week. We do it once a quarter. The reason is every time we do it, I want to explain it. I want people to understand why we're doing what we're doing. I just don't want it to be a tag on at the end of the service where it becomes almost a weekly ritual of what we do. And I'm not in all ways saying that's how other churches treat that. I just don't want that to be a danger in our church. And it's very common in our group of Baptists that typically it's done like once a quarter or whatever it might be. I want to approach the table because, again, it's God's given us these minds to remember things, and the number one thing he wants us to remember is his son on the cross and the sacrifice he made for us. I want to put a verse of scripture up on the screen, Psalm 77, verse 3. One of my favorite preachers of old is Vance Havner, and I first, years and years ago, saw this verse with Vance Havner, and it just never has slipped my mind. Look what the psalmist says. I remembered God. That sounds like the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. I remembered God, but look what the psalmist said. I remembered God and I was troubled. Now you would think it would say, I remembered God and I was happy, or I remembered God and I was made comfortable. But the psalmist said, I remembered God and I was troubled. Now don't look at that word troubled as being a negative. Think of that word troubled as meaning when I remember God, it stirs me. It causes me, when I remember God and I look at him and look at who I am, it stirs me. It does something inside of me. It causes me to think through some things. And so I remembered God and I was troubled. When we remember God and when it stirs our heart, which is, I think that's a great Old Testament verse about the Lord's Supper. I remembered God and I was troubled, I was stirred. Let's prepare our hearts by remembering God. I just want to share some quick lessons for living, and then we'll come to the table as the Lord prepares our hearts. Let me go through these quickly. Number one, based on Psalm 77:3, I remembered God and I was troubled. I was stirred in my heart. Number one, when we remember God's sacrifice, we think of our devotion. See, to come to the table, we are remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. The bread, his body, the cup, his blood. We are remembering what he did on the cross for us. And when I remember his sacrifice, how does that stir me? Well, it stirs me to think. I think of my devotion to the Lord. It challenges me. We take the bread and the juice inside of us. We remember that Jesus is inside of us. If he is your personal Savior and Lord, and I hope he is. If he's not, he can be. We're declaring to you through this table that Jesus loves us, that he died on the cross for our sins, he arose from the grave, that he alone is the only Savior, and you can come to him and call upon his name and experience the forgiveness and eternal life that only Jesus can bring. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. There's no other way to have your sins forgiven and to go to heaven when this life is over. And so we come, we remember his sacrifice. We remember Jesus on the cross. We remember this Palm Sunday that he was headed to the cross. We do this together as a church family because his sacrifice has made us one body. It's made us one group of followers in him. We're serious about this time because we're serious about Jesus. We realize we belong to him. He purchased us with his blood. So when I remember God, the psalmist said, I was troubled. When I remember his sacrifice, it troubles me about my devotion. What is my commitment to the Lord right now before I come to his table? As we said this morning, am I in love with my Lord? Do I have a passion and a desire to know him more and to want other people to know him? When we remember God's sacrifice, we think of our devotion. You might have heard several years back in Northwest Arizona, Highway 93 by Hoover Dam, it made news because they built three bridges at taxpayers' money. It cost $5 million for these three bridges. There are 500 desert bighorn sheep that live in that part of Arizona near Hoover Dam, and they were concerned a safety issue of someone hitting one of these 500 bighorn sheep when they're driving down U.S. Highway 93. And of course, the accident that could cause, and also taking out these desert bighorn sheep. So what they did, they spent $5 million building three bridges over the highway for these 500 bighorn sheep to cross back and forth over. The interesting thing was after they built them, the vice president of the Arizona Desert Bighorn Sheep Society was asked by the Arizona Republic, will the sheep ever use them? And he said, we don't know. They didn't ask him. So people had a lot of fun with that about the price of $5 million to build a bridge for a bunch of bighorn sheep. And it's kind of silly, but think of the price that Jesus paid to build a bridge for us so we could become his sheep. The only bridge to meaning and purpose and eternal life and forgiveness of sin, it's a cross. It's Jesus on the cross. And when I remember God, I am troubled. When I remember his sacrifice, we think of our devotion. We think as we come to his table about our love and our commitment to our Lord for his glory. He built the bridge. Number two, when we remember God's holiness, we think of our sin. When I come to the Lord's Supper table, I think of God's holiness. I think that Jesus alone is that precious Lamb of God who's dying for the sins of the world without spot, without blemish, that Jesus was totally sinless and totally holy, and that's the only way he could be a sacrifice for our sins on the cross. And the psalmist said, when I remember God, I am troubled. And when I come to the table and remember his holiness, we must think about our sin. As believers in Jesus, we must approach his table with a desire of wanting our hearts clean before him, to take sin seriously and confess it quickly. It's one of the beauties of the Lord's Supper. God just puts it on the path of his church, of each one of us. It's a time to stop and evaluate and say, oh God, if there's anything in my life against you, would you clean it up? Are our hearts clean to the Lord before him? Have we dealt with sin in our lives? Are our hearts close to the Lord? Have we drawn close to Him? Again, as we said earlier, with our devotion and commitment. If we think about our thoughts, if we think about our words, if we think about our attitudes, if we think about our actions, either things we do or things God wanted us to do that we didn't do, we know that even as followers of Christ, even as saved people in Jesus, and I pray that's what you are this evening, as saved people in Jesus, we still sin and we will struggle with sin as long as we're on this planet. And we need to come before the Lord and have our hearts clean before Him. And we remember God's holiness. We think of our sin and we must deal with it. A few months ago, last December, there was a story out of Kansas City, the Kansas City International Airport. There was a baggage handler for an American Airlines flight. Maybe you saw this story. He was loading luggage onto a 737. And I guess there was a delay. Who would ever think that an airline would get delayed? But anyway, hypothetically imagine that a flight is delayed. And he was delayed, and so he found a comfortable spot inside that luggage, and he went to sleep. Now, I'm grateful that the luggage compartment he was in was pressurized and heated, and he must also be a very sound sleeper, because the next thing he knew, another American airline employee was waking him up, but he was in Chicago. He flew all the way from St. Louis to Chicago sleeping in the luggage part of the plane. And of course, the Kansas City newspapers and others had a good time with that. He ended up in a place he did not want to be. And if we are apathetic towards holiness, if we go to sleep, if you will, concerning sin in our lives and the seriousness of that, the Bible teaches us over and over again, we will end up in a place we do not want to be, where God does not want us to be. The Lord's Supper table calls us not to be apathetic, but to be alert, to be sharp, to be wide awake spiritually, and say, Lord, I want to be where you want me to be in my life. I don't want anything, God, between you and me. I remember your holiness, and I think of my sin, and God, I'm so grateful that when we confess that you clean us up. Number three, when we remember God's goodness, we think of our gratitude. Again, the psalmist said, when I remember God, I am troubled. When I remember God, it stirs me. When we remember God's goodness, we think of our gratitude. It's impossible to come to the Lord's Supper table and not think of the goodness of God, to not think about how Jesus was willing to go to the cross for us, to suffer and everything he went through, the rejection, to leave the glory of heaven, to come to this earth, to be born in a manger, to be rejected and homeless, to be beaten and spit upon, to be the greatest pain of all, not the nails, not the spikes, anything like that, was when God the Father had to turn away from the Son when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? How can we not come to the Lord's Supper table and not think of God's goodness? When I think of the goodness of God, it troubles me, it stirs me, because it makes me think of my gratitude. Oh, all the blessings of God, all the physical blessings of life we have, the material blessings, the emotional blessings, and those are true and wonderful, but there's no greater blessing than the cross and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that the goodness of God is meant to bring us to a point of repentance, and like the psalmist here, we can call to mind different days in our lives, and we consider our ways, and have I departed from the ways of the Lord in my life? Am I grateful to God? Do I spend more time griping about things on earth or expressing gratitude to God? We've shared before, how thankful are we? The Lord's Supper table causes us to pause and just ask ourselves this question. Do I spend more time focusing on what I want God to do for me or what God has already done for me? Do I spend more time focusing on what I want God to do for me or thanking God for what He's already done for me? We come to the Lord's Supper table, we remember the sacrifice of Jesus and the holiness of Jesus, and we think of our sin and our devotion, and we think about our gratitude. We think about how we should be so thankful and so grateful for the Lord, for who He is and for what He does. Fourth, when we remember God's mission, we think of our faithfulness. See, the Lord's Supper is the picture of Jesus being on mission to this planet. It's the picture of the gospel. The Lord's Supper, the reason why we don't do it privately by ourselves, the reason why it's a public witness, if you think about it, we are publicly declaring, anyone who would have walked in this building tonight, we're publicly declaring to them without shame the death and resurrection of Jesus. We're publicly declaring to them that Christ lives inside of us, that we belong to Him. The Lord's Supper table is a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of our mission. And it's the picture of Jesus' mission to this planet. Without His mission to this planet, none of us would have salvation. So the Lord's Supper, when the psalmist said, when I remember God, I am troubled. When I remember God's mission, and the table reminds me of the mission of Jesus coming to this planet, I have to think of my faithfulness. How faithful am I? How involved am I in joining God on His mission? There is so, so much to do. So many people who need Christ around us and all around this world. It should trouble us. It should stir our hearts. It should cause us to, when we come to His table, to just say, Lord, use me to pray, to give, to go. Again, like yesterday, praise God for what we saw in the Easter extravaganza in our community outreach, for what's taking place around the world with our partners. The Lord's Supper, we're declaring His death, declaring salvation of Christ in us. We're declaring He's alive. We're declaring our mission. And as we come to His table, I'm asking myself, what is my faithfulness to the mission of God? How involved am I that people around me are lost and they need a witness? As we have been sharing in our staff, it is so wrong for a saved person to allow family and friends die and go to hell without a witness. They've got to have a witness. And we're to be that witness to them. When we remember God's mission, we think of our faithfulness. Fifth and finally, when we remember God's heaven, we think of our worldliness. Again, it's not a negative, it's not a downer. When I remember God, I am troubled, it stirs us. And the outcome of these things, when we remember our sin, we remember our devotion, when we remember our gratitude, we remember our faithfulness, we remember our worldliness, that's not a negative, that's a positive. When we remember those things, God is so good in His grace, that's how we turn and get our hearts right before God as we come to the table. When I remember God, I am troubled. When I remember God, I am stirred. When I remember God's heaven, we think of our worldliness. Jesus promised the disciples at the Lord's Supper table and said, hey, we're going to do this again. This is just like a movie trailer. This is just a sneak preview of things to come. There's coming a time at the great marriage supper of the Lamb when all who are in Christ will be with the Lord in glory. When Jesus said, we're going to do this again one of these days, He was predicting Easter. He was predicting the fact that He would come out of the grave alive. And now the book of Philippians tells us that you and I are citizens of heaven if we belong to Jesus. We remember that all this is temporary, that Jesus is returning again. Remember the final words of Jesus in all the Bible is, behold, I am coming quickly. That we want not a world-first life, but a God-first life. And this table, we celebrate the fact that everything we're going through that is real and heartbreaking and hard and scary and confusing, there's something else that is, church. It is temporary. Heaven is forever. This world's not heaven. And this table reminds us of that. It reminds us that Jesus is coming back, and we're going to be with Him in glory one of these days. And we're not going to be at a table with a little cup of juice and a little chunk of bread. We're going to be face to face with Jesus, the bread of life and glory itself. I mean, when I remembered God, I was troubled. When we remember God's sacrifice, we think of our devotion. When we remember God's holiness, we think of our sin. When we remember God's goodness, we think of our gratitude. When we remember God's mission, we think of our faithfulness. When we remember God's heaven, we think of our worldliness. Again, Dr. Havner said, but the kind of trouble of remembrance that God brings is a trouble that leads to triumph. We remember God, it troubles us, and then when we commit and react to what troubles us, it leads to victory. That's what the Lord's Supper table is all about, that God stirs our hearts and God stirs our minds in way of remembrance, lest we forget Jesus too long, lest we forget what He did for us, lest we get so used to it. We've heard it so many times, we're kind of numb to the fact, or we just stop thinking about it, stop dwelling about it, stop thanking Him for it. When I remember God, it troubles us, it stirs us, which leads us to victory. We're going to remember. He didn't give us 1 million gigabytes for nothing. We're going to remember His grace, His love and forgiveness. We're going to remember when we confess and forsake sin, He always cleanses us. We're going to remember His nearness, that He will never leave us or forsake us. We're going to remember His love, that we can never be separated from His love, and that all we experience here is nothing compared to what we're going to experience in the fullness of heaven one of these days. We remember His table, and if anything is not right in our lives, we remember the fact that we can come back to Him, and we can confess and repent that, and we can recommit our ways, then we can rejoice because the Lord will forgive us and draw us close. We remember. When I remember God, I am troubled. When we remember tonight, does it trouble you, trouble me? Does it humble you? Does it humble me? Does it call you, because you've never come to Christ as your Savior and Lord, to come to Him tonight? Does your heart swell with joy because your heart is right with the Lord tonight? We come to His table and we remember. We remember the person of Jesus and His cross. We remember that His body was beaten, that His blood was shed, that He died and He arose again, that all who are in Christ have Christ in them, that heaven is coming one of these days. We stop and we remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Brad Williams is a Wisconsin radio news anchor. He's said to have the world's greatest memory. I don't know how many gigabytes he's got, but he's said to have the world's greatest memory. He has the ability to recall the tiniest of details all through his life. His memory is so great that he was studied by Dr. James McGow, the professor at University of California, Irvine, who said that science has never met a human who has the sort of memory that this guy has. Well, I thought about that. Wouldn't it be crazy to hang out with him? He'd drive you nuts. Because every single thing you said or do, he says, no, that's not right. This is what happened. And after a while, you would say, listen, Brad, I'm glad you got a great memory, but would you please just be quiet? I want to go on the record tonight and say that I will never challenge Brad Williams for the world's greatest memory title, okay? I will never, ever challenge him at all, because I forget things, and you forget things, and we all forget things. But tonight, let's draw a line in the sand. There's one thing, church, by God's grace, this church will never forget. We will always remember. Nothing will erase it from our hearts and our minds. Not any trouble, not any persecution, not any confusion, not any difficulty. Of all the things that we may forget in this life, regardless if you've got the greatest memory in the world or the not so great memory in this world, God gave us those million gigabytes of memory. There's one thing that First Baptist Church Arnold will always remember and never forget, and we, the body of this church, will always remember and never forget, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed on the cross for our sins, risen from the grave for our victory, and that whoever calls on the name of the Lord is forgiven and is saved. We will never, ever forget that. When I remember God, I am troubled. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, as we come before you and prepare to come to your table tonight, Lord, we just want to pause and spend some time before you. Lord, we start tonight asking you, as you know every heart and every life in this room, thank you that you love us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for everyone in this room and everyone in this world. Thank you that you're offering a free gift of eternal life to any and all who would come to you. God, we know the place to start right now is, God, is there one in this room? When they remember you, they are troubled, and they're troubled because they've never come to a saving relationship with you. Lord, is there one here tonight who needs to know the truth of your word that teaches us that all have sinned and come short of your glory? Lord, thank you that you love us so much that right now, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, you can convict them of that sin in their life, that none of us are perfect. All of us fail and we're flawed, and Lord Jesus, you're holy. Lord, thank you that right now you reveal yourself to them. Your word says that you demonstrated your love, and while we were sinners, you, Jesus, died for us. And God, is there one here that would realize tonight that you did die for our sins and for their sins specifically? And you're alive today, Lord, would they realize that you're offering the free gift of eternal life? And Lord, you promised whoever calls on the name of the Lord would be saved, rescued, delivered, set free. So God, is there one here tonight? Is there one here tonight who would say yes to you as Savior? God, I pray that would do it now. Lord, for those of us tonight who know you as Savior, thank you for your table. Thank you for Palm Sunday. Thank you that you entered Jerusalem. Thank you that you loved and died for the crowd that said Hosanna, and that same crowd that said crucify, you still loved them and died for them. And Lord, we know that all of us, because of our sin, were in that crowd that day. Thank you for your table, God. When we remember you, we're stirred. We're troubled. We remember your sacrifice. God, we think of our devotion. Lord, how is our devotion and our love for you? How, God, have we forgotten? Has it been too long since we just really paused to praise you and worship you for what you did on the cross for us? God, thank you that when we remember your holiness, we think of our sin. Thank you, God, that we can come tonight. If there's anything in our life, any sin, any trespass, any iniquity, God, that is before you, in front of you, that is a barrier between us and you, thank you, Lord Jesus, that if we just confess that to you and repent, you promise to forgive. Oh, God, we come to your table and we remember your goodness, and it stirs us, Lord, with gratitude. God, right now, we just want to tell you thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for eternal life. Lord, we gravitate to thanking you for the physical things of life, and God, we are thankful for those. But, oh, God, most of all, we thank you for the spiritual. We thank you for a free gift, for a home in heaven, for a life of meaning and purpose, Jesus, that came through your cross. God, when we think of your mission, we remember your mission. We think of our faithfulness. And Lord, we are brokenhearted. What breaks your heart? God, we want to break our hearts. We know you're on mission to this planet. We know you want all people of all nations to know you and worship you. We know you've called us to join you on your mission. And God, thank you for allowing us to pray, to give, to go, to send, to serve, to love. Use us, Lord, to be faithful, to reach people, to be a witness to people locally and all around this world. And God, when we think of your heaven, we think of our worldliness. Lord, please help us to know that you've called us to this planet, that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Lord, help us to remember that you've called us to be in this world, but not allow the world inside of us. Lord, thank you that we know you've sent us to this world to represent you as your witness. Thank you that heaven's coming. Lord, we think just this week of the Kellams, the Jones, the Thompsons, the Choates. God, all that have experienced death just within this past week. Lord, thank you that in every one of those situations, there is the hope and the promise of heaven. We come to your table, we remember, and we're troubled, we're stirred. So right now, is there any step of obedience concerning this church, concerning baptism, concerning membership, anything in our life, God, that we need to get right before we come to your table? Thank you, Lord, that you promise us. You promise to forgive and to cleanse. Thank you that every single one of us in this room, if we'll just obey you, can leave this room knowing that we're right before you. Lord, we remember. We celebrate. We're serious. You've given us minds to remember. And Lord Jesus, tonight we stop at your table to remember you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please?